So the scribe came up to our Lord and said, Rabbi, which is the greatest of all the commandments? A scribe was a scholar of the law. In one sense, maybe he was testing Jesus to see his worth as a rabbi, or maybe he wanted to see, was Jesus a rabbi worth listening to? So our Lord replies, as we heard, Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Succinctly, to love God with your whole being. This is nothing new, because for the Jewish people, this is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5. My friend and endocrinologist, Dr. Tannen, who is a Orthodox Jew, would tell all of us that for a good Orthodox Jew, then as well as today, every morning, every evening, this is how they begin their prayer, by reciting this very verse they call the Shema. A good Orthodox Jew will have it written on a little piece of parchment and carry it with him. A good Orthodox Jew will have it written on a little parchment and put in a little container that looks like a scroll, and they put it at the post of the entryway of their home. It's called the mezuzah. Maybe you've seen this. So for the Jewish people, yes, this is it. This is the right answer. Our Lord, though, does do something new. He takes it and he combines it with love your neighbor as yourself. Again, taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. What is truly new is our Lord welds them together. You can't have one without the other. If you say, I love God with my whole being, that means we have to love our neighbor. And if we love our neighbor, that means we have to love God first and foremost. That love has to be the foundation. So the two go hand in hand. And Jesus says that there is no other greater commandment than these. So this is the great commandment. Now, St. John adds later on, anyone who says, I love God, but hate my neighbor, is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this verse, we're challenged. Now, the operative word is love. In the Greek texts of sacred scripture, there's three words for love. There's the philia, friendship love, hence Philadelphia, eros, the emotional love, hence the word erotic, but agape, God's love, faithful, self-giving love. This is the word that is operative in these two commandments. So our love then, when we think of God, we think of neighbor, has to be faithful, self-giving love. Of course, Jesus perfectly exemplifies that love. The question then is, how do we really live these commandments? Because if we ask someone, do you love God? They say, sure, I love God. Do you love your neighbor? Sure, I love my neighbor. But let's be exact here. What is it to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul? Well, simply, live the first three commandments. Thou shalt not have false gods. We must never have an idol in our lives, be that money, material possessions, power, social status, no idols. God comes first. God is first priority. We do not take God's name in vain. Commandment number two. God's name in all of its forms is holy. To use it as a curse, as an expletive, is blasphemy. We keep holy the Sabbath, commandment number three. So it's good that we're here to worship. If we love someone, we visit that person. We communicate with that person. This is why we're here, to worship God. But we also remember God's giving us more than we're giving him through not only Scripture but the Holy Eucharist. This has to overflow, though. So hopefully on the weekend, you take time for prayer, for rest, for family time. Throughout the week, though, we still need to find time for God through prayer, because to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, all our strength, meaning our whole being, we have to live in His presence. How can we live in His presence if we don't be mindful of Him through prayer and then really throughout the whole day? So the first commandment, the first great commandment, really is reflected in the first three Ten Commandments. Then love your neighbor as yourself. We'll look at the last seven. So the fourth, honor mom and dad. Well, we honor our parents. We take care of our elderly parents. We also respect and honor those in legitimate authority, be it a civil official, the bishop, the boss, the school teacher, whoever it may be. We do not kill. Number five, we don't murder or commit an abortion or euthanize. We don't destroy ourselves by taking bad drugs or abusing food or alcohol. We do not slander and kill somebody by word. Sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, we don't commit physical adultery or fornication, but we don't commit spiritual adultery either, pornography. Seventh, we do not steal. So we do not take what is not ours, whether it's physical property or intellectual property. We don't cheat or vandalize. Eighth, we don't bear false witness. So we don't commit fraud. We don't lie. But also, we don't pretend we're someone we aren't. So looking at Halloween that occurred just this past Wednesday, too many people masquerade as Christians. We have to live as a Christian. Ninth and tenth, we do not covet wife or goods of our neighbor. We don't look upon those things with envy, but rather we rejoice in the blessings of others, and we give thanks for what God has given to us. These are the seven commandments that help us love our neighbor. But then who's the neighbor? Well, the neighbor is everyone. We treat everyone by these commandments. So it could be the least of our brothers and sisters. Jesus said, what you do for the least, you do for me. Jesus said, love your enemy as yourself. Just because that person may be an enemy doesn't mean we don't live by the commandments. No, we live the commandments for everyone. And then we go further, and we might ask, well, why do we have all these seven no's of the Ten Commandments? Well, consider this. So the Ten Commandments were given by God to Moses. The people were just beginning a new spiritual life in the Promised Land. They know these commandments now. They've explicated them. And now Jesus fulfills them with two very simple, positive commandments. Consider then how we raise children. So our parents just didn't say to us when we were a toddler or a little bit older, be safe. Now, they said things like, don't play with matches. Don't cross the street without looking both ways, something I violated frequently. So the parents started with no's, so that when we're older, we come to the positive, be safe. Same operation is going along here. But they're also positive in this sense. Those first three commandments are saying yes to God. Commandment four, yes to family life and proper authority. Fifth commandment, yes to the sanctity of life. Sixth commandment, yes to chastity and the sanctity of marital love. Seventh commandment, the saying yes to justice. Eighth commandment, saying yes to truth. Ninth and tenth commandments, saying yes to the goods of others with gratitude for what we have. So yes, we can look at them in a very positive sense. So St. John sums it up well, again in his first epistle. Love then consists in this, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and has sent His Son as an offering for our sins. Beloved, if God has loved us so, we must have the same love for one another. Given this foundation, how do we apply it today in circumstances that affect us? Take, for instance, we've been hearing about this caravan that's coming from somewhere in Central America and moving towards the United States. And there are politicians doing their thing. But as Christians, how do we approach it? Well, we know that as a country, we're called, every government is, to treat people with human dignity, with respect, promoting the common good. All of us here, unless you're an American Indian, are descendants of immigrants. Some of you may be immigrants, even. My great-grandparents were from Germany and Austria. But the government has the duty to have laws. And so my great-grandparents came. They arrived at a port. They went through a physical examination, so they didn't have a disease. They had to have a sponsor. They had to have some money to support themselves. They came not with hands out. They came with hands ready to work, and they wanted to be Americans. So that's the way we should welcome people. And, of course, there's special cases of refugees, asylum seekers, and so on. But the government has the duty, under Commandment number 4, to enact laws to protect and secure this country. The government has a duty to protect us. So that's under the 5th commandment, to protect us, to defend itself, to secure us from things or people like gang members or drug dealers or human trafficking. We have that in Northern Virginia here in Loudoun County. So the government has the duty to say, yes, there's a law here under Commandment number 4, and we're going to protect our citizens under Commandment number 5, and if you want to come in, you have to do it the legal way. That's loving God, and that's loving our neighbor. That is legitimate use of these commandments. Take another situation. We've heard of the synagogue killing last weekend. There was also the pipe bomb things in the mail and so on and so forth. We see violence on television all the time. Commandment number 5 says, thou shalt not kill. And those that do or try to do need to be punished. So that is love. Also, though, we have to remember those that promote violence violate Commandment number 5. For those that say, attack those who oppose you politically, attack them physically, they're breaking Commandment number 5. Those who use bad language against another to slander break Commandment number 5. It's amazing how many politicians and Hollywood elites have called for violence because they disagree. They break Commandment number 5. Also, so many people today use the F-bomb at others. Do they know that word comes from a German word meaning strike? That violates Commandment number 5. We're doing harm verbally to someone else. So we need to look at that and say, no, that is not loving neighbor. It's very sad in a country where many bear false witness by saying, I'm so tolerant except for those who disagree with me. I demand an apology, but I will not forgive. Or that I expect to blame or be able to blame others instead of trying to heal, bring about a goodness. See the problem, bring about a goodness, not just blame. Problem. And so we have to say, let's live by the commandments. Go to another situation. So this Tuesday's election day, I hope you all go out and vote, and we do our best. But I would say, don't look at political parties so much. Look at the individuals and ask yourself, do these people live by the Ten Commandments? So if someone simply wants to gain office, to gain power, and seek some kind of revenge, then that violates Commandment number 4, legitimate use of authority. If someone is running on a premise of reproductive freedom and a matter of choice, meaning a license to kill the unborn, that violates commandment number 5. If a person says, I support taxes and tolls and things like this, and refuses to give us a tax refund, which is our money, that violates commandment number 7. If a person says that I'm all pro-American and all this stuff, but really is trying to undermine the whole system by blaming and causing the division, that's bearing false witness, violating commandment number 8. And we could go on and on. But look at the individuals and ask yourself, is this person living by the 10 commandments? Because any reasonable person, even if you aren't a believer, would say at least the last 7 all make sense. It's interesting, James Madison, who's the father of our Constitution, said, "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each of us all to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the 10 commandments of God." So my brothers and sisters, reflect on this. Take it to heart. This is how we live. And ultimately, it's love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In our first passage, Moses said, "People of Israel, you're going to the promised land. If you want to live, you want to prosper, you want to live in security, follow the commandments and love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul." And our Lord added, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Think how better our country, our families, our own lives would be if we took these commandments to heart and lived them. May God bless you.